Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we pray that your Spirit might rest upon us. We pray, Father, that Jesus might be made real in our hearts, not only that we might commit ourselves to him, not only that we might love like him, but that in the light that he brings, forsake the idolatries of this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1952, Marilyn Monroe was the it girl, starlet on the verge of becoming the most sought-after movie star in the world. At that point, she had three movies playing in the theaters, and she had three productions already in the can, awaiting to be premiered in theaters around the country. Monkey Business, in which she starred with the Marx Brothers, Niagara, in which she starred in a drama with Joseph Cotten, and Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, which was the movie which escalated her to superstardom and in which she starred with Jane Russell. Marilyn Monroe at that point was 25 years old, and Marilyn Monroe was her own creation, the creation that Norma Jean Baker, a forlorn little girl who dreamed of stardom and was fed that dream by her mother, created Norma Jean Baker, created this concept, this persona, this person, Marilyn Monroe, a fabulously successful movie star who would earn for herself love by the adulation of the masses, and achieve for herself security merely in the form of money. The meaning of life reduced to stardom. Immortality reduced to a star on Hollywood Boulevard. Back in those days, Marilyn used to spend hours and hours in her trailer on the studio lot or in women's rooms in front of a mirror, primping and gazing and fretting and examining and lingering. And when asked by men on the lot coming to call her for a scene, "Marilyn, what are you doing in there?" she'd respond, "Looking at her." Funny, Marilyn Monroe's second husband, Joe DiMaggio, looked at himself the same way. In case you happen to be one of the nine people in this room who do not know who Joe DiMaggio was, Joe DiMaggio was the greatest baseball player between Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, or between Babe Ruth and Willie Mays if you're a National League fan. Joe DiMaggio was a legend in the country and front page news. He was America's hero. Songs were written about him. And publicly, Joe D was the definition, the virtual definition of class and confidence and champion. He was Michael Jordan before ever Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan. But that was publicly. Privately, Joe DiMaggio was a womanizer. He was vain, greedy, and obsessed with his own personal image. Philadelphia baseball historian Dutchie Doyle once told me over a conversation about his dad's experience with Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio was in town with the Yankees to play the Philadelphia A's back at Shibe Park. And Dutchie Doyle's dad was one of the clubhouse managers for the visiting team's clubhouse. Joe DiMaggio sent his suits out that day to an Italian dry cleaner. the Italian dry cleaner, swelled with pride, brought back DiMaggio's, the great Mr. DiMaggio's suits, so that he could deliver them back to him personally. However, the dry cleaning job was not up to the standards of the great DiMaggio. And he chewed out that poor Italian shopkeeper, humiliating him and reducing him to tears. Because Joe DiMaggio was in the business of being Joe DiMaggio. If DiMaggio's suits were not up to the DiMaggio standard, somebody had to pay. For 2.5 years, Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe were photographed wherever they went. In fact, on their very first date, it was arranged for a publicist to show up with a photograph that would be published in the next day's papers. Not because Joe was going out with Marilyn, but at that point because Marilyn was going out with Joe. They were America's sweethearts, the idols of movie magazines and gossip columnists, both of them making a living out of being legends. In February 1954, Marilyn visited the American servicemen fighting in the Korean War over in Korea. She didn't have an act. She went as her own act, sang for them, and just appeared. And they hooted and hollered and chanted her name. Thousands and thousands and thousands of American soldiers and sailors, crazy about her persona, her sex kitten alter ego. They mobbed her and cheered her. When she returned to her newlywed husband in Japan, Joe DiMaggio, where they had gone for their honeymoon, she said to him, "Joe, you've never heard such cheering." And Joe D. said, "Yes, I have." Had Marilyn been speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Jesus, you never heard such cheering," Jesus would probably have replied, "You know, come to think of it, you're right. I haven't." This astonishing, flabbergasting aspect of Christmas is there's no cheering. Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe did not attend the birth. There were no photographs. There was no publicity to speak of. There were no celebrities. There was no money involved except as a reason to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There was no hype. There was none of the fame and fortune and finances with which we associate greatness in America. Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio made a living about being living legends. But Jesus, well, Jesus didn't make a living, he made a dying. Jesus made salvation out of suffering and humility. And it all started right with his birth. Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered the cold. Jesus suffered the rejection. Jesus suffered the poverty. The grinding poverty. Jesus suffered the adulation of shepherds, homeless people, and considered it an honor. Jesus suffered the adoration of the Magi, illegal aliens from Iraq, but called it a privilege. If you study history, and realize that at that moment in history, within 50 years of Jesus' birth, either before or after, some of the greatest names in history, world history, lived. Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus, They were so great, they had months named after them. Not streets, not villages, not cities, not a state like the state of Washington. They had months named after them, a word that everybody on the face of the planet uses 30 times a year. And there was the poet Virgil and Seneca and Scipio and Cleopatra and Mark Antony. Great people, historic people. Not only were they not at the birth, they'd never even heard of Jesus. You think if God were arranging the birth of Jesus as Americans, we could give him some ideas that he might do it right. But as far as God was concerned, when his son was born on this planet, he didn't need a red carpet. No celebrities, no publicity, no ticker tape parade, golly, not even a hospital. Just scandal, discomfort and cold, humiliation, death squads, and refugee camps. When Jesus was born, he wasn't a legend, because becoming a legend is not all it's cracked up to be. I'm pointing this out because we lose sight of what's real and what counts every day by living in this country. Now, folks, if you happen to get Joe DiMaggio's autograph for Christmas, it doesn't mean you have to take it back. If someone gives you a Mr. Coffee coffee machine, you don't have to return it. That was the kind that Joe used to do pitches for on TV. That's not what this is about. But Christmas teaches us to realize what's real and what counts in life. The Savior of the planet became incarnate in human flesh. And how he did it shows out what counts. Did you see the cover of Time magazine in October? They had a cover story. Does God want his followers to become wealthy? Does God want all of his followers wealthy? Does God want all his followers wealthy and famous like Scipio and Augustus and Julius Caesar and DiMaggio? Yeah, right. God wants you to be just like all those people he didn't invite to his son's birthday party. Is this so hard to figure out? We've got trouble with it in America. Just answer the question. Does a seesaw go up or down? It goes both ways. It all depends. Does God want you to be wealthy? It goes both ways. It all depends. God takes you up. God takes you down. And Christmas teaches us that when he takes you down, it's his best gift. Because he wraps all of his best gifts in disappointment and suffering and misunderstanding and pain. Christmas teaches us what's real. The birth of the Savior of the planet, the person who changes death from life, is the most important event in the history of this cube of dirt flying through space. God's come to earth. So what's important? What really counts? Being real. Which is loving people, enduring hardship, welcoming humility, and caring for the unfortunate. That's what's real. Marjorie Williams wrote a book, a famous children's book, called The Velveteen Rabbit. And it's about this little stuffed toy, a rabbit, who is in this little girl's room, and she wants to become real like the other toys. So she asks the wisest toy in the nursery, the skin horse. And then the rabbit asks the skin horse, well, does it hurt to be real? Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. But when you're real, you don't mind being hurt. The first year they were dating, in 1952, Christmas promised to be a lonely one for Marilyn Monroe. Christmas 1952, she had scheduled a Christmas party down at the studio, which she attended, a 25-year-old girl working hard at becoming a star. And after the party was over, she had to return to her hotel room where she was living and spend Christmas alone. When you're alone, you're not Marilyn Monroe anymore. You're back to being just Norma Jean Baker, and life gets real. She took the elevator up to her room, went into her hotel room, fearful of the hours of loneliness that were going to transpire. She opened the door, and she saw a Christmas tree. Someone had given her a Christmas tree. No one had ever given her a Christmas tree. She went over to the tree, and underneath was a card. She opened the card, and in the card were these simple words, Merry Christmas, Marilyn, signed Joe. And she looked over in the corner, and there was Joe DiMaggio, her slugger. And that was the day that they became real. It's tragic they could not have stayed that way. But your Christmas starts tonight. Make it a real Christmas. Love your family. Endure hardship. Welcome humility, not publicity. And care for the misfortunate. They're not an interruption. They're God's way of getting onto your agenda. Jesus came into the world bringing His light to change our lives and allow us the privilege of joining Him by His Spirit in changing the lives of others. As you share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, remember not only what He did for you, but what He's calling you to be and to do, because He lives in you.